we bring you Debian 9. Debian Stretch.
Whoa.
Is the code name because we're so mysterious in the Linux
Stretch.
Community. Stretch.
Super cool.
I think the names come from Toy Story.
Really?
So who would Stretch be? Stretch.
Oh, the Slinky.
There
Slinky
you go.
Dude.
There you go.
He's dog, so very reliable, you know, loyal. Good job, Stretch.
That's what we're going to learn tonight. A loyal, reliable distribution of Linux. Hey, welcome to our chat room. It's so nice to see you there. Henry, if you see Henry on his phone, like he's just like
a millennial.
We had our one of the drives in the netbook. I don't know what happened, but before
it just blew up.
15 minutes before the show is when it decided to happen.
It was not a Kingston SSD, so
no.
I wonder if my computer just attacked it while we left it on for the whole week accidentally.
The netbook actually has in it, because it's a netbook that was gifted to the studio, and I stuck an SSD in it. Guess what the SSD is? My first ever SSD.
Oh,
but now
I can't
use it in anything because it's like it's not got any capacity to it.
Right.
It's given up the ghost.
Just donate it to a museum. Robbie's first SSD.
My first SSD. It's this big. But it's only this big as far as capacity goes. So anyway, so that's why he's on his phone instead of the netbook tonight. There you have it. Chat room, it's great to see you and nice to have so many comments. Questions coming in by email. If you're watching on YouTube, comment below. We appreciate that as well. And always a pleasure to have you along. We're going to get right into it, Sasha.
Awesome.
Are you ready for it? Sasha's kind of here as the
question asker.
The
questionnaire.
The newbie.
New user, we'll
say.
The
new user,
well, you're basically
know.
A Windows user, essentially.
Yeah.
Work, right?
I'm Windows sort of born and bred, but my laptop is Linux. That being said, Robbie installed it, and I use it.
I did. I forced it upon her.
No,
if you're going to volunteer here on the show, got to install Linux.
I'm super happy to have it. I am like Linux new. That's who I am. So I want to start just by asking you the very first most important question.
Okay.
What is Debian?
What is Debian?
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to back it up just a little bit for those of you who are not familiar with Linux. Linux is, at its core, it's another operating system. We're going to really kind of simplify
this. It's a penguin.
We're going to really simplify this, and for those viewers who are there saying, well, it's a kernel, and let's get into all the distributions and the flavors and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, as an experienced Linux user, those of you who are watching who are experienced with Linux, it can be very convoluted, very confusing for new users, people who want to give it a try, who are currently using Windows, Mac, whatever else you're on. So if that's you, if you've never really experimented with Linux, I really kind of want to keep this for you tonight, because this should be something that we Linux users can share with those individuals to help them to see what Linux is all about and how cool it really is, how great it really is. So Debian has been around forever. From the dawn of time, Debian was there.
So, as soon as Linux was there, Debian was there?
Well,
was it hand in hand?
Which came first?
Okay.
Which came first? Debian is basically a long-standing, well-respected version of a Linux distribution. There are all kinds of Linux distributions. You hear things like Linux Mint, Ubuntu, Debian, and OpenSUSE, and all these different names.
Yeah.
And it really is just, at its core, an alternative operating system to things like Windows and Mac. So Debian has been around forever and has always done really, really well with stability. That's been their push. And we're going to learn a little bit about why that is tonight, how they do it. Stability is really where it's at. Security is where it's at with Debian. That has been a little bit of its downfall in the modern desktop Linux era, because companies like Canonical come along and introduce Ubuntu. And Ubuntu is a desktop Linux operating system at its heart, and a lot of people use it. But its focus is not so much on the stability and the security, but instead is on the bleeding edge technologies.
Right.
So on the desktop, this stigma has been associated with Debian to say, oh, that's, you know, that's the server operating system. That's the OS.
Okay. So that's why you would pick that one over the other, is like for security.
Back 10 years ago.
Okay.
Okay. So now here we are in the desktop Linux era.
Yeah.
And Debian has really had trouble kicking that stigma because it's always been. When Ubuntu did not exist, Debian was there and Debian was on the server. Debian runs the internet.
Yeah.
If you've ever been to a website, you have seen Debian. You have seen Linux. Because at its backbone, at its core, the internet is largely Linux-based. And Debian is, you know, it's always been there. It's the one.
It really comes to the question then, Rob, because, like, a lot of people are visual nowadays. Like you said, Ubuntu really, we have desktops now, right? On par with Windows and Mac. So I'm sure you can answer this question because you're the tech guy here in this wonderful building we have. But why would a modern-day user then choose this guy over other distributions?
Over, say, like Ubuntu or something?
Yeah, like in the modern day. Like, why would somebody choose this distribution?
Well, that's a hard thing. And it's that's the question that if you're new to Linux, if you've never used it, that's the first question that you've got to ask yourself. Which one do I want to use?
Right. Okay.
So we just have to kind of rephrase that and instead say, which one do I want to try? What do I want to give a go at? Because with Linux, it's free. So you can try Debian now. Mm-hmm. You can give it experiment with it for a couple weeks, give it a go, and then try Ubuntu and see which one you prefer. And that's
so
a good way to do it.
I could do that because right now I'm not with Debian. I have Zorin.
Zorin OS. So keeping in mind, Debian at its is basically a lot of distributions are based on Debian.
Okay.
Ubuntu is based on Debian.
Okay.
Zorin OS is based on Debian.
Okay. See, this is... Sorry, guys. This is how I have to learn.
No, this is good.
Blown away.
Okay.
So why would I choose any one? So I'm going to look at what kind of features am I looking for? And this is where that stigma says, oh, Debian is more for the power users. It's not really the case anymore. We're going to see tonight how great it is and how much it's come along with Debian Stretch. With this release, it is absolutely an exceptional desktop product right out of the box.
Nice.
So it really, you know, we've seen that whole, you know, this is the admin, the sysadmin, the experienced Linux users OS.
Right.
Now is just a thing of the past.
Cool.
It's really just a matter of, you know, which one do you want to try? Which one do you want to use? And we're going to learn a little bit about that as we get into this. So talking about things like the way that they include packages. I mentioned that Ubuntu is based on Debian.
Right.
Okay. So Debian is here. Mm-hmm. And Ubuntu is getting the packages that it needs in order to exist, in order to be Ubuntu from Debian. Okay. Now, of course, Canonical now also takes a lot of those packages, modifies them to add stability or certain feature sets and things like that. It's open source. It's community-based. Mm-hmm. So they can do that. They also add their own products. They create their own software and add those to make Ubuntu what it is.
Okay.
That's the awesome thing about it being open source. Like, everything.
And people can give into it.
Yeah.
Or change it or modify it.
It's just such an amazing thing.
Can that make it stronger, but then also, like, weaker, depending
harder,
on what...
Harder, faster, bigger, stronger? Like
I
that?
Do not...
Whatever it is.
I did just buy a new Just Dance 2017. I think I learned that dance. Okay.
Video, or it didn't happen?
Okay, so, like, if people are in there adding, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there like a certain level of intelligence or like know-how they have to have before they can go ahead and do that? Or
absolutely.
Could somebody be just adding like me?
Well, a Joe Blow user or novice user could not create a distribution.
So it's safe.
Well, yes.
Okay.
So, but I think I understand what you're saying. You know, can it be customized and modified to be your own OS kind of thing?
Right.
Ubuntu is made by Canonical. It's based on Debian, and they have basically said, you know, okay, these are this is the way we want the desktop to work.
Mm-hmm.
So we've created it based on our vision of what the Linux desktop could be.
Okay.
And so this is Canonical's vision. Hmm. Now, Debian is very much into freedom of choice free software lets give you all the options and just let you decide what you want to do. So it includes a lot of different desktop environments. It includes a lot of different features that you can selectively install.
Wow.
Versus the out-of-the-box experience with Canonical's Ubuntu. So along that vein, Ubuntu makes some decisions that they want to push toward this particular branding of distribution.
Okay.
So a good example would be the Unity desktop environment. So Linux is Linux. It's an operating system, but then a desktop environment goes on top of that. So that's basically the interface that you use in order to interact with your computer.
That's the part that I know and see. That's the part that I'm most concerned about.
Sure. And if it doesn't...
For me.
It's the part that if you click on a button and it doesn't do what you expect it to do, you go nuts and you say, oh, Linux sucks.
Right.
Because the desktop environment is not behaving the way that you want it to behave.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it's there's more to it than that, obviously.
Absolutely.
But.
Absolutely. So when Canonical created this Unity desktop, it's to replace GNOME.
Mm-hmm.
GNOME is another desktop environment. So where Ubuntu would say, okay, let's push for our own version of the desktop environment. Let's create Unity. Let's do this. And they've done that. And they've been running this for several years now as the default de facto desktop environment, so the interface is Canonical's interface, where Debian, on the other hand, has said, no, we're not going to go that route. We're going to stick with what we know, what is tried and true, what's stable, what is well-supported, and that's GNOME. And so Debian continued on in GNOME. So this is where things get really different, because if you've been using Ubuntu, you've gotten used to Unity, and you've gotten and you've gone along with Ubuntu's experimentation and their development process. But now here we are in 2017, and Canonical has said, okay, we're finished with Unity. We're going to go back to GNOME. We're dropping Unity. We're stopping support for it. We're not going to continue developing it. And instead, we're going to switch our operating system back to GNOME. So anyone who has been using Debian has already been using GNOME through that whole process, presumably. You can install other desktop environments easily, but the default does tend to be GNOME. So you can see how Canonical may push for different technology, but then they may revert back because it's more experimental for the desktop.
So is Canonical just like the brains of the
company. They are a company that creates this distribution, and the way that they make their money, essentially, at its core, is to provide support to businesses for that distribution.
Okay.
But they offer the distribution itself, the operating system, for free. So you can download it and install it on your home computer, and it's fantastic. That's what I run on my laptop most of the time is Ubuntu Mate.
Right.
But looking at Debian 9.
Okay.
I have a quick chat info.
Yeah.
Let's see. Wences says to myself, thank you, Canonical is dropping Unity for 18.04, saying Unity is croaked.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And that, so when they say 18.04, that's their versioning system, which represents year, month. So that's April 2018. So their version of Linux is no longer going to have Unity in April.
Darn.
That's how that works.
Okay.
So there are, I want to keep this fairly simple. We don't want to get into the semantics and the really complicated stuff. But we do kind of need to talk
a little bit.
So Ubuntu pulls from what's called testing and unstable repositories.
So what's an unstable?
Okay. So this is where Debian differs. So Debian being the base. So this is what a lot of other distributions are based on. Debian being the kind of the main one, we'll call it, the higher level on the tree. The way that they work, I mentioned earlier, they are focused on stability, security. So the stable release, which we're excited about today because Debian Stretch has finally gone stable, we're going to understand that in a moment, is considered stable. It's the rock solid. This is the distribution for you if you're a new Linux user, if you are running a server that you have on the internet.
All the functions that they want working are working, right?
Can I tell you what my impression of it is, and then you can tell me whether or not that's right? Okay, so Canonical, which is like the company, it like deems things as like the thing they support as being stable. And then there are other ones that maybe aren't as
much? Sort of, but Canonical is unrelated to Debian in that Canonical builds Ubuntu, and Ubuntu is a version of Linux based on Debian.
Okay.
So tonight, our focus is really on Debian, but understanding that there are other distributions out there that are based on it.
Okay, so Debian Stretch is stable.
Yes.
Who says that it's stable? Who's the boss that says it's stable?
Well, Debian is a very community-driven product. So it is set up in such a way that teams of individuals work together to create this distribution and to commit and donate a lot of time in order to make it happen. So the way it works is, okay, we've looked at GIMP 2.9.5.
Mm-hmm.
Love it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it's still got a couple of little bugs here and there. So what happens is, the development team now puts that into the unstable version of Debian, okay? So there are three versions, unstable, testing, stable. So first thing happens is it goes into unstable. People start testing it and playing around with it, working out the bugs and things like that.
Right.
Once they've worked out the bugs, now GIMP 2.9.5, for the example, moves into testing.
Mm-hmm. Sort of like beta testing for video games.
Yeah, it's like the alpha versus beta versus... open.
But it's an entire operating system of a suite of software.
Bigger than a video game.
We've got to get away from the Microsoft mentality of Windows updates, updating my operating system, and that's it. Linux works by updating everything.
Right.
So if your graphic editor and your Office suite and everything else is updated, you get all the updates. And it's free. Okay, it's beautiful. So once it enters testing, now it's much more stable, but there may be a little bit of issues here and there, but it's to be considered fairly stable, and it's working well. And then when that distribution, the testing distribution with all these new versions of software that have now gone through testing, is considered stable, it moves to the stable branch or the stable distribution. That's what just happened with Stretch.
Should anybody even bother installing an unstable or a testing? Or should you just stick to stable? Like, wait until it's stable.
Okay, so stable is going to have the oldest version of software at the end of life. Consider that the predecessor to Debian Stretch as stable was Jesse. And Jesse has been the stable distribution on Debian since 2015. So for a little more than 2 years... it has been stable.
Wow.
So all of these new versions of software, like even in Debian Stretch, GIMP is still version 2.8.
Right.
Because that is considered stable. 2.9 or 3 has not come out yet.
So there are some benefits in doing an unstable system or distro. Distro?
Distribution,
Okay.
Yeah.
And that is because it'll have more cutting edge.
You got it. Yeah.
Right.
So if
interactions.
So here, if you're a new Linux user or even an experienced one who wants stability, security, rock solid performance, start with stable.
Mm-hmm.
If you find at that point that there are packages that you really want to have newer versions of and you want to, you don't mind taking a little bit of a risk because sometimes it can have problems.
Knock on wood.
Because it might be bugged. It's testing.
Yeah.
You can easily upgrade from stable to testing. So it's a really easy, seamless upgrade process. All of your packages are just going to upgrade to the latest version in testing and you're going good. So that's once you've got a little bit more experience. Now, if you are a power user, you know your way around Linux, you're not afraid to have things absolutely break,
and
you're not afraid to go in and fix them and figure it out, then that's when unstable is for you because you're going to get the absolute latest, absolutely bleeding-edge software because as soon as something comes out, it goes into unstable as the newest version.
Yeah.
So you get like the super cool stuff.
You always have the super cool stuff, but you got the super latest version.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Or anything that's brand new that hasn't made its way down through the chain of testing yet.
Yeah.
So there are benefits to like...
Definitely.
Both.
So
sides.
With Debian, it's very specific that you can choose whether you want bleeding edge or stability or a happy medium with testing in between.
Okay.
So Ubuntu from Canonical takes from Debian's testing and unstable. Not from stable, because it considers that Ubuntu is more bleeding edge than stable, Debian stable. So right now, having just switched to stable on Saturday. Debian Stretch is latest and greatest stable packages.
Woo.
Because it's only been a few days.
Right.
So, yes.
Okay.
It's exciting.
So what are... Well, no, my next question is, because I feel like I took away from it, but now I want to get back to it. What are the features?
Thanks for keeping me in line here.
What are the new features? What is... Can you tell me about it?
Yeah.
Okay.
About
so Debian
9.
First of all, you're a Mac guy. Sorry, dude. PowerPC is done. So if you've got an old Mac, one of the nice things about Linux is it can always be installed on older hardware. Well, Debian has done away with PowerPC support. So there are various architectures. If you're a PC user, certainly if you use Windows, you know about 64-bit and 32-bit. Those are your two main options. So there is absolutely support for those. Right out the gate, you can download an AMD 64 or i386, which are 64-bit and 32-bit PC versions of the distro, respectively. There is a new 64-bit MIPS architecture that has been added.
All right.
And then, really, this is largely all about that chain of getting the latest versions of software and getting things upgraded, refreshed. So we're looking at a new kernel. I think we're at 4.9 point something.
Kernel is just what they call...
That's Linux's heart.
Yeah. Okay.
Like the skeleton.
Keeps beating.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's, you know, the upgrade process. So what have we got? A huge amount of upgrades as far as the software that's included. GNOME is now 3.22. I didn't want to get into technical stuff, but KDE is up to date, LXDE. These are all desktop environments. Mate is 1.16, and XFCE is 4.12. But the thing is that there have been over 15,000 new packages that have made their way down the chain into Debian Stretch that were not in Debian Jesse. And... from the packages that were in Jesse, more than half of them have been upgraded. So you've got new versions of these pieces of software that have been now upgraded.
So, can you give us, an example of a package? So, for, somebody new to Linux...
Sure.
So, if you're trying to sell it... No, not sell it, because it's free.
It's free! Take it!
If you're trying to get, if we're trying to convert Sasha to it,
yes.
How would you tell her...
I would just install it on her laptop.
Yeah, that's true. Do it.
Yeah.
Because my mind still works like I've been fully franchised. So I buy a computer from the computer store, and I bring it home, and it already has that would be Windows typically on it.
Yeah.
You don't buy it without Windows on it. So you just take Windows off of it, and then how do you
download it? You download Debian from Debian.org.
Before you take Windows off, because how else would you?
Yeah, you don't have to. You can download it right on Windows.
Okay. Yep.
And then you can insert a USB flash drive.
Yeah.
You can use a tool that the instructions are all on their website.
Okay.
Debian's website. You can use a tool that will actually now do what's called a burn to the flash drive.
Right.
Or a flash.
What size flash drive would I need?
4 gigs.
Okay.
8 gigs. I think it's 4.4 gigs.
16
so not,
gig is
not huge, oh, yeah. right? Like, you're fine.
Gig flash.
Yeah. And then, quote unquote, burn it to the.
I used
boot
my
off
16
of it.
Gig.
Right. Okay. So.
2 terabyte.
That's
all I needed.
I download it to the flash drive.
No, you download it to your computer and then you burn it.
Okay.
To the flash drive. So it becomes a bootable operating system.
So it's like it boots off there and it replaces Microsoft.
And you used to use a CD.
Right.
But now you don't need a CD. The optical medium is dead, basically.
What's a CD?
Yeah, exactly. So then you boot up the computer from the flash drive, and it'll say, do you want to install over top of Windows, or do you want to install in addition to Windows?
And if you do in addition, it's called a dual boot.
Correct.
Yes.
You got it.
She's learning.
8 points for Sasha.
Okay.
So keep in mind, if you buy a new computer, it may have UEFI. That... you may end up having a little more trouble getting Debian installed because Debian is very, very focused on free stuff. And that kind of comes down to firmwares, and some of these UEFI systems can have proprietary firmwares and issues like that, where Canonical's Ubuntu makes it very, very easy to install on any platform. Debian is still very, very easy. I want you to try it. But just a heads up, don't get discouraged if you have trouble. Hit the community. Hit our website, category5.tv. Ask some questions, and we'd be happy to help you. Our community would be happy to help you. What else is different? Things that have been updated, you were asking. LibreOffice.
Awesome. So a free word processor.
Not just a word processor, but a full Office suite.
Full suite.
You remember when we used to have to buy Microsoft Office?
Yes.
I know, right? The only thing missing from LibreOffice is an Outlook equivalent. Everything else, like PowerPoint, and Word, all that stuff, Excel, they're all there and fully compatible. You can open files that were created on Microsoft Office in LibreOffice and save them back and
forth. I have a LibreOffice random question.
Okay.
Is there like a help manual I would like in LibreWriter, it's called, right?
LibreOffice Writer, yeah.
Right? I want to just select the whole document and shrink it to one page. But I can't do, I know I can do that in Word, but I want to be able to do it in Writer. I know that you don't know how to do that specific thing.
Somebody does.
I know, I would like there to be...
shrink the font to fit it on the page.
Right, but instead of asking individual things like that, I'd love to know if there's a way to download some sort of how-to...
I'm sure, on their website, LibreOffice.org. You'll find documentation there. There's probably a wiki and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But do keep in mind, LibreOffice, what's neat about it, as well as being compatible with Microsoft Office, is it's very similar in its feature set and its commands.
Okay.
So where its version of Excel, which is called Calc, has equations and things like that, it's the same equation formulas as Microsoft Office's Excel.
Right.
Right. So things are pretty one for one at this point, and it makes it really, really easy. It's been updated.
I use it, and I find it easy, with the exception of like random tiny things
like that.
I'm
sure we can find you help for it. Absolutely.
It's better than paying like $200.
Hundreds of dollars, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I mentioned Outlook being the one thing that's missing, but there's a program called Evolution that comes with Debian as well.
Beauty.
It's also been upgraded, and it's very similar to Outlook.
And it's like all free still.
It's all free, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So if you think this sounds like a sales pitch, well, we're giving it away.
Yeah.
So go download it for free. That's kind of if you have any questions for us, get in the chat room.
Right.
Sasha's watching. Henry's watching on his phone as well. Anything at all that you want to ask about Debian, should we?
Can we look at it?
Yeah.
Is there something? Yeah.
Let's actually get into to Debian and get a look. So this is Debian 9, which I've installed on my laptop. Now, you may be in a similar situation to me where you've got a production system, a computer that you use all the time, and you don't want to wipe out your system. You want to try it out, though. So what I did is I simply stuck in a different hard drive. So
really?
I removed... Good. Yeah, I don't know where I set it.
I have a question from Garby, quick. Why is Debian better than RPM?
Well, there's a lot of... See, now we're going to get into personal preference, experience, and we kind of want to avoid those kind of questions, Garby, a little bit tonight, just on account of what we're looking for. RPM, Debian, two different software distribution.
He says that was a joke.
Methods. There you go.
Sorry.
And we can get... You're going to find this, folks, if you're new to Linux. It's going to be... If you get into the forums and you say, which one's better... You've just made a mistake.
It's a war.
You have opened a can of worms because Garby's going to say RPM. I'm going to say Debbie.
Never post it on Reddit. You're going to lose
just
so much time.
I feel like it was like Solwoo or the Foo said earlier, the best thing to do would be to find one that one of your friends has already installed. Install it yourself. That way you have support of somebody who knows what they're doing already.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. And if you don't have someone who uses Linux, follow along with our show. It's a great way because if I'm using Debbie on my system, then you can ask me questions about Debian and I can bring it up on the screen just like that.
If you're doing it and it's new to you, let me tell you, you have a friend in me. So you can write the show every
Something
week.
In common.
So this is Debian 9 Stretch running what's called Cinnamon, which is the default out of the box in my case, because when I installed this, it asked me which desktop environment do I want.
Oh, that's nice of
I
it.
Said, give me all of them. Come on, I want them all. So I can play around and then I can decide which one I like the most.
That's
it
awesome.
Comes with GNOME 3. It comes with Cinnamon. It comes with Plasma.
It's
KDE.
Everything.
It's got tons of stuff. Even LXDE, which all these things are just to say you can go back and forth between them and see which one you like the most. And that's part of what Debian does well, is it makes the decision up to you. You want to customize your system, you want to make it yours instead of some other software developers, you can really toy around with it and try different things. So this is the screen that I'm greeted with on first boot, and you'll see that there is a ton of software already installed. And we mentioned LibreOffice, for example. So if I go to Office, you'll see, I've got a document viewer for PDF files. I've got, so I don't need to install Adobe Reader.
Oh, nice.
There's that Evolution email program that I was talking about that has the calendar and everything else. Mm-hmm. Mappy support for Exchange and all that kind of stuff. And then we've got LibreOffice, Base, Calc, Draw, Impress, Math Writer. And you'll get used to the names and the differences there pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you'll find alternatives on Linux that have silly names like Galculator instead of Calculator.
That's
and it's
awesome.
Like, why do they do that?
Why not?
But with LibreOffice, it's pretty straightforward. And you can also just launch LibreOffice by itself and it'll say, hey, what do you want to do? Well, create a document, create a spreadsheet, create a presentation.
Does it make coffee?
Draw a drawing.
A drawing?
It probably makes coffee. It is. It connects with your Keurig.
Sounds like another Raspberry Pi project.
There you go.
Working on.
So what do we want to do? A calc spreadsheet. So when I click on that, you'll see, isn't that familiar?
Yeah.
Looks very, very much like Microsoft Excel. And we've got the same kind of formula system. We've got the sheets down at the bottom here. We can create new sheets. We can name our sheets. Whatever we want to do. And it's basically, at its heart, it's Microsoft Excel. So then let's say I've got friends or colleagues in business who are using Microsoft Excel, mm-hmm. and now I have to send them this. I don't want to have to say, oh, you need to install LibreOffice to open the file. No, mm-hmm. that's no good. So save as, and when I save it, I choose the format, defaults to this, the open document format, like LibreOffice format spreadsheet. But then you can choose from here, Microsoft Excel format, XLS.
Oh, okay.
Remember those? Or there's the newer XLSX.
Can you also do a PDF?
You can do PDFs, but it's a little different as opposed to saving. So this, just to answer that question, but here we're looking at compatibility, being able to open this and edit it on a Windows computer with Microsoft Office.
If I'm going to email an attachment, I want to email it as a PDF?
Mm-hmm. If you don't want them to be able to edit it, essentially.
So like if it's an invoice or something
sure.
like that.
Yeah.
Right. So I can just save it as PDF. Done.
You can't save it as a PDF. That's a little
it's
bit
like
of a different
export.
Thing.
Sorry.
It's like an export. It's like, so as we're saving, we would select the Microsoft Office format, Microsoft Excel, XLSX. So that's to send it to a colleague who uses the full, you know, they have money to throw away, so they've bought Microsoft Office. What I would do in the case where I want a PDF, see this giant PDF button?
Oh my, no words.
Boom. And it's just going to save it as
that's
a PDF.
Awesome.
Okay? Okay.
So that's the version that you would use to share it as an email attachment or
right. So if I was sending like intake forms to a patient who wants to fill them out
Absolutely.
Before, I would just go in, save it as a PDF,
for
send
them
it
to print and then fill in?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I got this.
And
there
same goes for your Word documents. Not to put too much focus off of the distribution that we're looking at, Debian, but to show you that, hey, you know what, it comes with a large suite of software that's going to get you up and going pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bring up LibreOffice Writer. Again, not to focus on the suite of software, but instead just show you, hey, you know, this is really, really straightforward to get started.
Super user-friendly. Yeah. I use this and
There's
like it a lot.
Well, it's familiar, right? Like, mm-hmm. it dives into the familiar, but at the same time, it's so useful,
mm-hmm.
right?
We can save as Word document files, docx, there you go, or just the old doc format. So you see what I'm saying is that if we're transitioning from Microsoft Windows, unless there's specific software that's an executable file that you absolutely need to have, accounting software might be a good example, but a lot of that's moving to the cloud, so you use it through your browser anyway. So
there you go.
Why not install a distribution like Debian that is not susceptible to the same malware? You don't have to worry about viruses like you do on Windows, that kind of stuff. So let's jump through the suite of software here. We've got everything's nicely organized. One of the things I've always admired about Linux, you notice when I go to games, it's mm-hmm. just there are the games. What do we not see?
Just Dance 2017.
Well, we don't see that. But you know what I don't see in the list is README, uninstall, about the product, and all these subfolders that are nested. And
selling, commercial.
You install a program on Windows, and you get all of this stuff on your menu. And they've kind of done away with that by changing things in Windows 10, but it's now become even harder to find the things that you're looking for in a lot of cases. This one, it just is out of the box. There's not a lot of, we'll call it cruft from a programming standpoint. You know, that's the term, where it's just junk that doesn't need to be there. This is all the stuff that is installed. I mean, it even comes with VLC, I just saw. VLC Media Player.
It's pre-installed.
You can watch our show in HLS format live. Yeah, it comes pre-installed. And we've got all this kind of stuff. So
they really thought of everything, didn't they?
Beautiful.
This is why it's stable.
This is why it's stable. Any questions from our chat room at this point before we take a quick break? Nothing at this
point? Nothing.
Fantastic.
At all. Break time.
If you are interested in Linux, you're new to it, you've never seen it, or maybe you have seen it and you're just maybe, you know, on the fence because it's, you know, like we've talked about tonight, it was here 5 years ago and now it's a really viable desktop operating system as a replacement for Microsoft Windows, for example. You can put this on your existing computer hardware, and we're going to talk a little bit about that right after the break. We've got to take a quick one, and we'll be right back. This is Category 5 Technology TV. Welcome back, and thanks for joining us tonight as we celebrate the release of Debian Stretch as a stable distribution of Linux. And we're doing this from the approach that we're presenting it as a new option for Windows users, Mac users, to switch to. And we certainly welcome you to send us questions. If you go to our website, category5.tv, you can click on Contact Us, and you'll see ways to reach out to us if you've got any questions about the transition or the software that you can use. Henry, during the break, you were mentioning what keeps you on Microsoft Windows.
It's unfortunately, like right now, it's a must for me, right? Because I have both Adobe products.
Woo!
I'm a fan of Adobe for like video editing, for Photoshop, Premiere Pro, like all those guys.
Yep.
But also as gaming, right? Like you gotta have a little bit of fun, right? Like I know that like Linux has Steam and other fun stuff, but at the moment there's a lot of games that I play that currently don't have Steam, like the capability, but I'm seeing a lot more that are like compatible.
Sure.
So like with Mac, Windows, and Linux.
Yeah, we're certainly seeing that. And these days, as you say, Steam being a Linux product, Steam OS is in fact Linux. So you know they're putting a focus on it for gaming, right?
I hope so.
As far as Photoshop goes, we've looked at it on the show. Check out GIMP 2.9.5. That was the one thing that was holding me on Windows was Photoshop, because we have such a problem. Yeah, the lossiness of scaling the images. Everything else in GIMP was great in 2.8, but the fact that you lose quality when you rescale, that's to say this is an alternative version of Photoshop. It's free.
Well, here's the thing. This next release really excites me too, though, because with it being more accessible to people and with us talking about it on the show, hopefully more people try it, which means that more people are going to be using it, which means that programmers and those developers are going to be like, hey, more people are using it. Maybe we should move our program towards this operating system.
Yeah, absolutely. Wouldn't you hope so?
So I really hope, like, over the next 3 years, like, this really kicks into...
Now, but there is the opportunity to dual boot, right?
Yeah.
So could you not super
virtual
technical.
This is me.
You can keep Windows and still run Linux. On
exactly. So could you not do that until you start to feel comfortable and try the products offered by Linux, see how that feels, and then maybe uninstall or just never use Windows if you wanted to?
You absolutely could. And that's how I migrated over to Linux was dual booting, because I still needed to boot into Windows once in a while. And so that gave me a chance to use Linux for all of my online stuff. Keep me safe online, do all of that stuff, and progressively these days everything is online.
Yeah.
Most of the stuff that I do, so it just makes sense to use it. And then you can just boot into Windows when you need to.
Right.
Absolutely true.
So what happens? You turn on your computer and it's just that black screen and you just scroll to...
You choose which operating system you want. It creates a menu that says Windows 10 or Linux, Debian. So
that's not bad.
You mentioned Photoshop, and I mentioned GIMP. For those of you who aren't familiar, I mean, Debian right out of the box comes with a program called GNU Image Manipulation Program. So, Henry, what this is, I know you know, but for the sake of our viewers, this is a full image editing software. You look at it, and it looks fairly similar to Photoshop in its the way that it actually operates. I'm going to go into single window mode so that you can see something that's even more Photoshop-esque. But there you have it. So it's a free alternative to Photoshop that came with Debian 9 right out of the box.
And you guys already have a lot of tutorials that Absolutely. Can go with mm-hmm. this guy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I really hope to see more open source programs like that right now, right? Because like again, like
we're seeing it happen. Video production
exactly.
is on the up and up.
Exactly, and I'm really excited about that. Because like I said, I use like Adobe Premiere Pro, mm-hmm. I use InDesign, I use like pretty much the entire suite, even Dreamweaver and all the other guys. Mm-hmm. But that's the cool thing about like this age of technology is that access is becoming so huge right now. Mm-hmm. So we see a lot more open source programs like this.
And it's absolutely free.
I'm excited.
Head on over to debian.org, debian.org. Support the community if you can, and certainly get a download there. Look for Debian Stretch. It's under stable. And you want to just select AMD 64 if you're using a 64-bit system, which most of your systems these days are going to support that, so go with that. That's the better of the two. Or there's also i386, which means 32-bit. So if you've got an old system that doesn't support 64-bit, then you can go that route as well. You can install 32-bit on a 64-bit computer, but you can't do the other way around.
Right.
But I would lean toward the 64-bit if you have support for it.
Would there be any benefit to installing the 32 on a 64?
On a newer system? No.
Okay, no. So just don't do it.
64-bit all the way.
Yeah.
If you can, go high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Higher version. Go with the best. Go with the best. Supports more.
Best around.
Okay.
All right. So questions, anything at all, send us an email off our website, category5.tv, and that is Debian from debian.org.